I remember reading a story. I can't remember in whose commentary or who it was that recorded this. But it's said that there was an elder in a congregation who had the man who was going to be preaching the next day in the worship service. And it was either a son or a daughter in that family or another visitor who was there with them that evening for the evening meal that he or she asked this man who was going to preach the next day, "What is your title?" And he said, "The 11th commandment." And that's the title of this morning's message, the 11th commandment. And this son or this daughter or this visitor thought, "Wow, there are only 10 commandments, aren't there? What is this 11th commandment?" Last Lord's Day that I was here, we said that we were going to embark on a series of messages from the one another passages. And so this is the second in that series from one another passages. As members of the visible church, our profession of faith is, first of all, yes, I repent of my sins and I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also profess that we will be a body, that we will be a people who are truly committed to Jesus Christ and to one another. And so this morning, as we pick up another one of those one another passages, I direct our attention to the 13th chapter of John. John chapter 13. And some of you perhaps have already memorized the one another that is in this passage. It's in the 31st through the 35th verse of John 13. John 13, verses 31 through 35. And let's read those verses together in unison. John 13, beginning with verse 31 and reading through verse 35. "So, when he had gone out, Jesus said to the now the Son of Man is glorified,
and God is glorified with him. And God is glorified in him. God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and then I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. Now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Amen. So our attention will be focused primarily on verses 34 and 35. And we're indeed focusing our attention, what others and I'm saying, is the 11th commandment. And when we look at that 13th chapter, we see in the 13th chapter that John begins by reminding us that Jesus washed the feet of his apostles. And I call this the towel and basin ministry of the church. Sometimes I wish that our symbol was a towel and a basin, that we are a people who are about the business of washing one another's feet. And then it's in this context also that Jesus identifies his betrayer. And it's curious that in his identifying Judas Iscariot as the betrayer, when Judas Iscariot leaves, notice what the text says. "But no one at the table knew for what reason he," Jesus, "said to him," Judas Iscariot, said this to him, Judas Iscariot. "For some thought, because Judas had the money box,
that Jesus had said to him, buy those things we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. And after Judas leaves, Jesus now turns to the 11 and he says, little children. And this is the only place in the scriptures where we find Jesus referring to his apostles, his intimate disciples, as little children. And maybe it's worth noting that he doesn't say this until after Judas has left. Judas apparently is not a child of God. He's not a little children as the others are. And it's in this context that Jesus says, I have an 11th commandment for you. I have a new commandment for you. Now we know from Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, the third part of that verse, that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. But now he says, love one another. And in saying, love one another, he says, and this is a new commandment. Well, there's a lot of discussion about what it means for this to be a new commandment. It's not necessarily a new commandment in time as much as it's a new commandment in quality. And the quality, I'm convinced, is because of the pattern that is set before us to help us understand this new commandment. We are to what? We are to love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. How often do we read this 11th commandment, love one another, and we forget the focus is not so much on, okay, let's look at one another and see how to love. No, the focus is on Jesus and his love. We are to love as Jesus loves. So how does Jesus love? Well, I'm going to suggest four ways that the scriptures teach us about how Jesus loves. And the first way I'll offer is he loves selflessly. He loves selflessly. If we're honest with ourselves, are any of us really able to say, I love selflessly? We love and enjoy being loved back. We love and we're happy because we are loved back. We love maybe because we enjoy happiness. And we all understand what it is when someone whom we love dies. How hard that is on our love. But then it's even harder when someone breaks that love relationship with us and just cuts it off. Do we yet love? Jesus loved selflessly. He clearly states, I came not to be served, but to serve. And isn't it interesting that he loves Judas Iscariot enough that he will wash his feet, knowing full well that Judas Iscariot is about to leave and betray him. A selfless love. A love that is not expecting in return. And he demonstrates his selflessness in his total obedience to do the will of his Father. Not my will, but his is to be done. He shows his selflessness in his taking our sins upon himself. He certainly shows his selflessness in the way he doesn't do what he wants to do. He does what his Father wants him to do. And this then leads us to his loving sacrificially. He laid down his life for his enemies. And I think of a story that I read some time ago of a son or a daughter who was dying. And the only way that this son or this daughter was going to be able to live is if there was someone from whom they would be able to have a blood transfusion. The A, B, is it positive or negative that's the rarest, is what this child had. And the only person who had the same blood was his or her 4-year-old brother. Maybe you know the story. The 4-year-old brother says, I'll do it. I'll do it. And you know, they clean the arm and put in the intravenous, put an intravenous into the 4-year-old's arm. And the blood begins to flow from the 4-year-old's arm to the brother or sister's arm. And a few minutes into this, tears begin to flow down the cheek of the 4-year-old brother. Why are you crying? I really don't want to die, but I'm glad my brother or sister is going to live. You see, this 4-year-old didn't understand that a blood transfusion didn't mean he was going to lose his life. But here's a 4-year-old who is willing to sacrificially love for his sibling. And Jesus is the one who tells us, isn't he? Will you lay down your life for another? Perhaps for a friend you'll do that. But will you do that for your enemy? Our Jesus loved sacrificially such that he went to the cross. And he went to the cross for those of us who are his enemies. But it doesn't stop there, does it? His sacrificial love doesn't simply take him to the cross, not simply. But his sacrificial love takes him to the cross that he would bear hell. The very wrath of God, his Father. that it was totally undeserved by Jesus. But he sacrificially goes to the cross because he loves his enemies and takes hell upon himself. We enter into a marriage covenant, and we promise, we pledge our troth, our love for our spouse. In sickness and in health, in plenty and in want, we pledge our, is it truly sacrificial, selfless love? When we enter into that covenant of marriage, and does our covenant of marriage and our relationship between ourself and our spouse show Jesus' love? The love of Jesus that is selfless and sacrificial, that enables us to enter into that eternal covenant of salvation with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that in that covenant that we enjoy through the grace of God as we repent of our sins and lay hold of Jesus Christ as our Savior, He becomes our husband, we become His wife. And oh, how He loves us as our husband. Nothing will have us snatched out of His hand. Nothing. Selflessly, sacrificially. Oh, and He loves us so understandingly. So understandingly. He knows only too well those whom He loves. He knows us to our core. In fact, He knows us better than we know ourselves. We really don't know one another by spending an hour or two on the Lord's Day together. We don't really know one another by spending an hour or two once or twice a week with one another. Do we want to be known as we're known? Do we want to love one another as Jesus loves us? We who are married know what it's like, don't we? After we finally are able to live together, that which we've been looking for and looking for and looking for, and now we're together. And the honeymoon. And some speak about a honeymoon between a new teaching elder and the congregation, a honeymoon. Are you still in your honeymoon after 23 years? Is the love the same, or has it grown and deepened because you've really gotten to know someone else and they have gotten to know you? Love one another understandingly. Jesus understood full well what it was going to be like to become the husband of you and me. He knew exactly what kind of spouse we would be. and yet he wedded us to himself. I was listening to Focus on the Family earlier this last week, and I was really impressed. Obviously, I remembered enough to say it this morning. The founder of Proverbs 31, a ministry for women, was being interviewed. Her husband of over 20 years was being unfaithful. And she found out about this. And she agonized. What am I to do? What am I to do? What am I to do? And she spoke about how she had given herself to that 21 days of fasting. And after the 21 days were over, she felt as though the Lord wanted her to go another 7 days. And she went another 7 days. And as she continued to fast and as she continued to pray, as she continued to lay herself before the Lord, she finally said something to her husband. And her husband said, "Yes. Yes, I'm guilty." And she said, "By God's grace and by God's grace alone, I said to my husband, 'You're not the man I married. This isn't you.'" That sounds, at least in my feeble mind, to be a bit about what Jesus said to Peter. When Peter said, "Not to the cross, Lord. Get behind me, Satan." This isn't you speaking, Peter. This is the adversary speaking. The adversary has you, husband, not Jesus. You're not the man God made you to be. He didn't know what to say. Because how do we generally show our love when someone is unfaithful to us? "How dare you? Don't you understand? Do you really love me?" Jesus loved selflessly, sacrificially, and understandingly. Do we understand our spouse? Do we understand our brothers and sisters to be in Christ Jesus? That's their identity. And when they behave as though they're not in Jesus Christ, they're not behaving in their salvation. They're behaving as though they're not saved, but we know better. Because they've professed Jesus Christ as Lord and believe in his resurrection. And that's what we take to the bank in our relationships with one another. We understand each other to be a sinner, saved by grace, sanctified in Christ, righteous as any of us in his righteousness. But that righteousness needs to be worked out, and sin needs to be died to daily. He understands us. And so the Holy Spirit has been sent to what? To convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment. that we would remember the things of Christ and what He has done for us and His infinite love, moment by moment by moment, that is real and alive in our lives. She says, that is not the man you are, to her husband. And you see, then that leads us, doesn't it, to a fourth aspect of Jesus' love. Selfless, sacrificial, understanding, and I'm sure you can agree with me, forgiving. Forgiving. The apostles were going to, Peter's going to deny Jesus. The apostles are going to, they're going to scatter at his hour of death. Though he identified Judas Iscariot as his betrayer, his apostles didn't get it, did they? Somehow, even when Judas Iscariot got up and left, they didn't connect him with the betrayer. Somehow the love Jesus had, even for Judas Iscariot, even though Judas Iscariot was going to prevented them from understanding, he left to betray him. How slow to learn. How slow to learn were the apostles. How blind and insensitive they were. But is love supposed to be blind? Genuine love isn't blind, is it? Genuine love isn't blind. Genuine love is eyes wide open love. Blind love only leads to discouragement, and blind love will only make us recluse. It's the love that Jesus Christ shows us in forgiveness. In forgiveness. That's what keeps us connected with Him, isn't it? He forgives. And He washes. Yes, He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But none of those for whom He said that would know that and experience His forgiveness until what? They repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you confess your sins, what? I will be faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Oh, He forgives, but we don't know that forgiveness, do we? We don't know that forgiveness, do we? Until we go before Him in utter humility confessing our sins. I can forgive people who despitefully use me. But that forgiveness doesn't reconcile me to that person. Until that person is confronted with the sin that broke the relationship. And when that person is confronted with the sin that broke the relationship, those who are in Christ Jesus will, "Yes, I've sinned. Please forgive me." Jesus loves us. And I'm sure you are all able to add to those four aspects of his love for us a multitude of others. But we have to bring this to an end, don't we? Wrongly, Francis of Assisi has been quoted as saying, "Preach the gospel always, use words as necessary." He didn't say that. He didn't say that. I don't know why they attributed it to him, except that he was one who talked a lot about living out the Christian life. But those of us who are convinced that lifestyle evangelism is an aspect of evangelism. Did you see in our text the way Jesus says, if we're going to rely on lifestyle evangelism without speaking, this is how we have to do it. We need to be selfless, sacrificial, understanding, and forgiving. When we're that kind of people, our text tells us by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Our Jesus loves us. And if you are being tempted by the devil to think that you have been berated this morning, flee the devil. You have been loved this morning by Jesus, who loves us this much that he will say to us, love one another. Because he is the one who loves us, and his love moves us to love one another. Do you see it? We love God with all that we are. And we love our neighbor as ourselves. And who are our immediate neighbors? But the ones we're to love as Christ loved us. So how do we talk of each other when we're out in the marketplace? How do we talk of each other? With love. Eyes wide open. As we come to the table, we come as those who have discerned accurately the body of Christ. We come as those whose eyes are wide open to Christ and to each other. We come as Jesus' bride to enjoy fellowship with him at the meal that reminds us of the clearest expression of his love for us. In that while we were dead in our trespasses and sin, Jesus Christ died on the cross and bore our sins. And in the shedding of his blood, our sins are forgiven. And in the shedding of his blood, he not only unites us with our Father, with whom we are at enmity, but he unites us with his siblings as well. So that we become members of the family of God. We become living stones in the building that he's erecting on this world, on this earth. We become his bride. And as he has loved us and loves us moment by moment by moment by moment by moment by moment by moment in our lives, we love one another. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, as your disciples, we want to be faithful to this 11th commandment. And we know that in the flesh we just plain can't do it. Loving selflessly? So hard. Oh, so hard. The great temptation is to love because of what we will get out of it. Sacrificial? Oh, Father. I want what I want when I want it. I won't think of others as more important than myself. Oh, Father, understandingly, you know every nook and cranny of our heart. You know our motives. You know our thoughts. You hear our words and you see our actions, and yet you've begun a good work in us. And you will continue that work because you know us better than we ourselves, what it takes for us to be conformed to the image of your Son. And oh, how we so easily pay lip service when we say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Oh, Father. Oh, Father. We have to confess that if we take that literally, we have no hope of forgiveness. But we thank you that you enable us to forgive the way we have been forgiven. Oh, thank you for the great salvation that is ours in Christ Jesus. May the world know that we are your disciples as we go forth Monday through Saturday, living this love for you, yes, and demonstrated in our love one for another. Lord, it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.